Hi, it's Wednesday, December 15th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. Several years ago, my daughter and I took a day trip and wound up at a retail store that had an arts and crafts section where I saw a piece of art that was actually a flat piece of steel, probably 2 feet by 2 feet, and in the steel was cut or carved, I guess cut is the better word, a quote. And the quote is from Joan of Arc. The quote says, "I am not afraid. I was made for this." My daughter bought me that as a gift months later, much to my surprise, because I wasn't aware that she grasped at the time that I saw it how impacted I was by the quote. For two reasons. One, I've always been somewhat fascinated by the story of Joan of Arc's life and the trajectory of her life, but also because in many ways I've lived my life by that quote, not knowing that it existed. And because I live my life by that quote, I've felt throughout my life that the quality most missing in humanity is not compassion or love or charity. It's courage. I really believe there's a deficit of courage in the world, and perhaps never more so than now in the United States of America. Consistent with that belief, yesterday I looked at a website called American Greatness, where I saw a post titled Comfortable Tyranny. It's still up on the website today if you want to go look at it, if you want to read it. It's written by a young woman named Blaise Ebener, I believe her name is. She is an undergraduate student at a university here in the United States. And it's a stunning, absolutely stunning post. Why? Because she identifies, in essence, what I just said. She identifies it and she explains from her perspective, and I think it's a valid one, how we got here. And here is the following, that people in the United States, too many people, have voluntarily, and that's a key word, traded in their liberty, their freedom, for comfort and for cooperation and for acceptance. The push by the centralized government over the last year for us all to conform, for us to go along to get along, for us to follow irrational and illogical direction, for us to ignore facts that we know to be true in order to be able to have access to things that we need and want has been positively un-American. And yet, those of us who perceive ourselves as Americans, again, too many of us have acquiesced to those dictatorial mandates. You know, in that essay, in that post that Blaise Ebener wrote, she opens with an analogy to the Israelites, to those who were enslaved under Egyptian rule in ancient Egypt. And I find that ironic too, because I often refer to that and have in posts and in books that I've written, because I refer to it in the context of what I learned in a course in Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism. As I always say, I am a mystic. I am not necessarily a religious person. I am a mystic. And so Kabbalah, which is the correct pronunciation, in Kabbalah, I was taught that ancient Egypt, or in Hebrew, the word Mitzrayim, really refers to a state of consciousness. And that state of consciousness is pretty much pure materiality. And it's pretty easy to see that when you look at the pyramids and you look at the pharaohs who wanted to be buried with everything from their cats to their gold to every physical possession and luxury item that they had, because even in death they weren't willing to let go. It is a complete dependency upon materialism. And the Israelites represent going out from that bondage, because they, the Israelites, had become accustomed to voluntarily being enslaved to that same mentality. They were part and parcel to what was ancient Egypt, to what was Mitzrayim, because they traded in their freedom for their comfort. And here's the key, and when Moses came along and they were offered the opportunity to go out from slavery, to go out from bondage, they kind of complained and bellyached all along the way for 40 years. And at every point of adversity, wanted to, and some did, turn back. Now, let me go back to Mitzrayim, or the addiction to materiality and comfort, something we should all identify with today, being a state of consciousness, being a level of consciousness, maybe even being a frequency of consciousness. That frequency, that bondage to materiality is very dense. Materiality is very dense, right? Everything is energy vibrating at a different frequency, and the matter of density has to do with the degree of physicality. So I am matter, you are matter, but so is the wall and the desk in the room that I'm in. The wall and the desk is just more dense, vibrating at a slower vibratory rate than I as a human am. Kabbalah teaches that had the Israelites not been extracted, not been brought out from that dense level of material, let's call it addiction, which is deemed to be the 50th level of consciousness, the lowest level, meaning a rock vibrates at 50, that they were at the 49th level. They were so tied to and addicted to and voluntarily had given up their freedom for the comfort of being taken care of by Pharaoh that they would not have been able to have been extracted or brought out from that level, that 49th level, had they descended to the 50th level. And that's why the Exodus was so rapid, needed to happen in a night, so to speak. It needed to happen where they went out so fast that we're taught that the bread didn't have a chance to rise, right? The leaven didn't even have time to rise. All of that is figurative. The underlying message is they were pretty close to irreversible tragedy. In many ways, I think we're living on the borderline of a similar time. And that post on American greatness by that undergraduate student, I think really brings it home. We have gotten used to a level of comfort in our lifestyle and a tendency or even an addiction to instant gratification, hello Amazon Prime, that we're reluctant to give it up. And if you are going to summon courage to say no to the things that need to be said no to, and yes, to stand firmly in the yes of the things that you believe and know to be true, it's going to cost you comfort. It's going to cost you acceptance. It may even cost you access. You know, in the case of mandatory this and mandatory that, if you don't comply, well, then you're going to find yourself excluded, banned from, maybe even the supermarket during certain hours. Who knows where this goes? You know, that sounds kind of crazy, right? But it's how the Nazis started. Jews were only allowed to do things during certain times of the day. It was a slow creep descent to where they were hauled off to concentration camps. First, they were marginalized, then they were ostracized, then they were institutionalized, and then they were eliminated. I live in Texas. I don't know why I came to Texas. I came to Texas 8 years ago, going on 9. I lived in the Northeast. I don't know what brought me here at the time. At the time, I thought I knew, but I really didn't know. I came here sort of blind. I had never been to Texas. I was a typical Northerner who was sort of, I don't think I was raised to believe, but culturally, I internalized the message that Texans were, you know, 10-gallon hats, Bible-toting hicks. Now, when I moved 9 years ago, I moved to Austin, which is an island in the middle of Texas. It's an island of leftism and liberalism in the middle of what is fundamentally and has been fundamentally a conservative state. So I didn't arrive to find that caricature of a Texan, but it clearly was a bold and audacious move on my part because I knew no one here. I had no source of income here. I just came here. I moved here out of nowhere. And hindsight's 20/20. I couldn't be happier right now than living in Texas. Why? Because people here are not followers. People here, in many ways, think for themselves. At least they think for themselves. Let me make a distinction. At least they think for themselves in terms of how they live their lives in relationship to authority and governance. It's a very Christian state, and it's a very Christian area that I live in. And so there is conformity around that. But I'm putting that to the side for the moment because what we currently struggle with, although there is a crisis of faith in our country, regardless of what your faith is, God has been written out of the public discourse, we face an imminent and immediate challenge of governmental overreach and governmental authority. Ronald Reagan said that freedom is never more than one generation from extinction. And in that post that Blaine Ebener wrote, she talks about that. She talks about one of the ways that you extinguish freedom is cut off one generation from history. Or in the case of where we currently are, manipulate history to one generation and teach them a version that allows you to control their future. Because what people know as history will in many ways form what they believe in the present and how they perceive their options and the potentiality for the future. In this country, we are rewriting history. We are making fiction fact. We are making lies truth. And in this country, we are trading in freedom for comfort. So it brings me back to that piece of art sculpture that hangs in my home. The quote from Joan of Arc that says, "I am not afraid. I was made for this." Every generation is challenged in some way or another and has its, quote, cross to bear, end quote. I believe that what we are going through now is that very challenge for the time that we're in. We have fought physical wars in prior generations. We're fighting one now. In many ways, spiritually, it's perceived as the war of light against dark. I'm not sure of what words I want to give it. I can only be sure of how I see it manifesting itself. And it's manifesting itself as a relinquishment of freedom for comfort, for acceptance. And it's incredibly dangerous. Now, when you're in a situation that's incredibly dangerous, it takes courage to extricate yourself. It takes courage to move, to even move, to even take that first step. You know, again, in Kabbalah, it's taught one of the plagues that befell ancient Egypt prior to Pharaoh releasing the Israelites was the plague of darkness. But the darkness is a specific kind of darkness, it's taught. It's blackness, it's darkness, it's the absence of light to such a stunning degree that it immobilized the population. The Egyptians were unable to move. They were physically immobilized by the density of the darkness. What did that was the emotion that that kind of constriction evokes. It evokes fear, and fear is immobilizing. And the only way to get through fear is with courage. I'm concerned because I look around at my country, I look around at citizens in my country, and I see the manifestation of that lack of courage. I see too much of it. I see rays of hope, I see light, I can look in certain places and see people standing up for what they believe. I see people standing up not even sure of what they believe, but sure of what they know isn't true. People willing to say no. Last night I saw a billboard in the city that I live in, a giant billboard, and on it is the number, I think, 913,763 or some such detail. It's over 900,000. And the caption on the billboard just says, injuries from the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, that's not a made-up number. That's the VAERS number. That's the number that has been reported to the federal government, to the CDC. Injuries as a result of the vaccine. That's a stunning number. That's cause for anyone who has the slightest doubt whether or not they want that in their body to say, I choose not to do it. But we're being ostracized and condemned and marginalized and perhaps isolated for refusing to take it. We have to be very careful. But more than that, we have to be courageous. Why I love the quote from Joan of Arc, I am not afraid. I was made for this, is because I have always believed that everything that's put in front of us is put there for a reason, and that adversity breeds strength, and that it's only through surmounting the things in life that appear to be challenging that we truly individualize ourselves and find out who we are and why we're here. And the why of why we're here is everything. The why of your life is everything. Because as Abraham Joshua Heschel, Holocaust survivor and author, has said in his book Man's Search for Meaning, that only those, or predominantly those, who were able to bring meaning to the suffering in the concentration camps were able to hang on. Bringing meaning to life is the purpose of your life. That's what makes you the unique individual that you are. We all go in search of it. Some of us find it earlier than others, and those people are blessed. But the easiest way to bring meaning to your life is to confront the challenges that are in front of you and decide. Decide where you stand, and then have the courage to plant both feet where you stand. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold, and I'll be back here again on Friday. Until then, by all means, it's part of your survival instinct. Think for yourself.